You are listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Another Halloween is come and gone. You probably sat on your ass all month long, eating takeout and watching horror movies. You got drunk at a Halloween party. You puked all over your handmade Squid Game costume, which barely fit because you crammed your face with candy all that week. Now, I know what you're thinking. I need a break. My health can't take any more of this. Hey, but not so fast, citizen. This is America, damn it. And if there's one thing we do better than anyone else, it's excess. Halloween may be over, but now that we're in November, it is your patriotic duty to prepare for Thanksgiving, that sacred day when families all across this great land come together to watch football and eat an entire week's worth of calories in a single night, all while hoping no one brings up politics. But before any of that can happen, we first offer a prayer to God and thank Him for all of the stuff we've accumulated. And once that's done, it's time to start getting ready for next Thanksgiving by accumulating even more crap. And that's why, on the day after Thanksgiving, we celebrate Black Friday, the single greatest retail holiday ever invented by those evil bastards at corporate America. The day after expressing gratitude for all that we have, Americans line up for hours outside a big box retail store just so we can buy more shit to be thankful for next year. Black Friday is that day that Christmas shoppers fight in the aisles over a slightly discounted air fryer. On Black Friday, even a Sunday school teacher will cut a bitch if that's what she has to do to get the last Xbox on the shelves. Yes, my friends, Black Friday is America at its greatest and at its scariest. A day so repulsive, so terrifying, I'm surprised it took this long for someone to make a horror movie about it. My name is Marco, and I'm here to discuss the new horror comedy named, appropriately enough, Black Friday. Fortunately, I'm not the only one working the late shift tonight. I'm joined by my fellow non-essential employees, Adrian.
Hello, hello.
Spider Mike.
Howdy, howdy.
And LaWayne.
Hey, heroes work on holidays.
As someone who worked many, many Black Fridays, I never want to do that ever again. Basically, my early 20s was all retail, so I worked at least like 5 Black Fridays, and the worst one, ironically enough, was at a movie theater of all places.
Really?
So I was 19, I was working in a movie theater, it was the Palladium IMAX in San Antonio. I forgot that it was Black Friday, and so I got a message from my manager at the time saying, hey, is it cool if you come in? And they're like, yeah, that's fine, or whatever. I get there, the place is fucking packed. This is a 19 theater with an IMAX in it. And I don't mean like one of those shitty IMAXs. I mean like one of those actual legit IMAXs. And so I get there. It turns out everyone had called out except for the people that were working concessions, essentially. And I was the only usher for the entire fucking, like, again, 19 theater, including an IMAX. They're like, oh, we have a guy that we trained to help you, and he only speaks Spanish.
You don't speak Spanish?
I don't. And it was fucking absolutely brutal. Because we had to wear these dress shirts. By the time it was done, like my shirt sleeves were all rolled up. My shirt was like half open and like untucked in certain areas. And I was sweating massively. And I was just like, oh my God, somebody kill me. And it was somehow that was the most excruciating Black Friday I ever worked. And out of all of my retail jobs, it was the movie theater that almost fucking killed me.
At least you didn't have as bad a night as the cast of Black Friday the movie did, because meteors have landed all across America, and inside of those little meteors are some weird, strange, brain-sucking thing that just turns you into a zombie. Unfortunately for the crew working at this local toy store, they don't know that one of these critters is inside of their store, and eventually it starts infecting the customers. People start acting weird, more weird than normal on a Black Friday. Before you know it, the employees of the toy store are fighting off customers who are trying to bite one another and turn each other into zombies so that they can do something that pertains to the final act of the movie. This is kind of a fun premise. Like I said, I'm surprised no one's tried to do something. We get lots of Halloween-related movies. We get a lot of Christmas-related horror. But that sort of Thanksgiving-adjacent type horror is pretty uncommon. So I have to give them credit just for that.
It's not very often that you get something that's in this time frame because everything's all Christmas-related or Halloween-related. And even some people use some of the other holidays for some reason. But for some reason, the Thanksgiving, Black Friday time frame is not really something that's used that often. Like, the only thing I can think of that used Black Friday in kind of almost a similar infection-y kind of way was the backstory to, I don't even remember which game it was, but it was a Ubisoft game where a bunch of stuff happened because people got infected by money that was infected during Black Friday.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I can't think of a movie that's set on Black Friday. However, this movie has the kind of like unfortunate disadvantage of its intro sequence. This movie starts off with an ugly opening credit sequence that is kind of mimicking the one from Krampus that already did a really good job. The opening of Krampus is that same Black Friday rush in slow motion, and people are grabbing at each other and beating each other up to get their toys and stuff like that. This does something like that, but it's completely like blurred in the background, and it's black and white, and there's just swatches of red and green light because I guess, you know, the holidays and stuff. For some reason, there was something about that opening sequence that I thought, this is just hideous and I hate this. But the movie picks up from there. The movie definitely goes up, even though it was a kind of a bad introduction. I did end up liking this overall, and I'm kind of surprised because I don't like to hold a film's budget against it. But there are points in this movie where it seems like, ah, damn, I wish that they would have had the budget for maybe some better gore here. But then the movie goes on, it's like, oh, this is what you saved the budget for. And I'm glad you did, because this is fucking cool.
Yeah, this is where the money went.
Yeah, it starts off on the day of Thanksgiving. Devin Sawa is a divorced dad of two daughters. He's dropping his kids off at his ex-wife. He can't have Thanksgiving dinner with them because daddy's got to go work at the toy store. He has to give a ride to one of his co-workers, Ryan Lee, playing Chris. He's kind of a nerdy, nebbishy teenager. You know, the store is managed by Bruce Campbell, which, by the way, I kept waiting for them to just go that this is a subsidiary of S-Mart. This could have been an Evil Dead spinoff, but they didn't go there. He's played the store manager, and he's kind of gung-ho. He's, like, all into it. It's Black Friday. Yeah, this is the best day of the year.
You can treat it like a what-if Bruce Campbell never went to the cabin.
Yeah, like, what if he just became a regional manager?
Is really what it could have been.
But also working at the store is Ivana Barquero as Marnie, who most people might recognize for her role as Ophelia in Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth. Here she plays another cashier who's kind of got a, not really a flirtatious relationship with Devin Sawa. It's very clear he's older than she is, but they're kind of buddy-buddy. You've got some other weird eccentrics in the employee pool, including Michael J. White as kind of like the Mr. Fix-It maintenance guy who knows all the tools and is good in a fight because, you know, he has tools and he's fucking Michael J. White. So, yeah, he's going to kick some ass when the time comes. There's such a good premise here that I wish I loved this movie more because I was really hoping for this to be like a little cult classic in the making. And it could be. This could be a fun thing to watch in between, you know, your second or third leftover turkey sandwich the day after Thanksgiving. And the thing that surprised me the most, Adrian's right. You can tell sometimes, like, they don't have the money to really shoot something properly, or they don't have enough coverage to make some of those scenes work. There's a lot of people running in slow motion. And I don't mean, like, they slowed the camera down. It's like they're running at a very slow rate because they only have so much space to run. It's like there's zombies coming after you. You guys should be running faster. Don't run for the camera. Just fucking run. And none of these people, even though they all claim to have worked at this horrible job for years, none of them seem to know where anything is in their store.
Actually, that one makes some sense. Again, I worked retail for a long time. Eventually, you just stop giving a fuck, and so you just stop paying attention to shit.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
And so what happens is that somebody's going to be like, hey, do you know where so-and-so thing is? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, do I look like I fucking know? I don't fucking care.
They even kind of say that in the movie. There's a joke about that.
Like, for the most part, like, you might know where something is. Like, there might be one guy who knows where something is and another guy who knows where something else is. And so you end up asking that guy, and then the other guy ends up asking the other guy. That's retail. And it's that's why I never questioned that they didn't know where anything was, because, like, I would have not fucking known. And I worked at a Target for, like, almost 2 years.
Yeah, you didn't know where the loading dock is?
I bet you knew what a Spider-Man stuff was.
Oh, I bet he did.
Well, that's different.
Of course you did.
But, exactly. I knew where that was. I agree with Adrian a lot when it comes to the budget stuff, because, again, like, I worked, like, knowing how retail is, a lot of times you look at the shelves and you're like, well, that's not nearly enough anything for anything, like Blackfire, really. Like, and the amount of people there, I'm like, oh, there should be more workers here. Like, hell, even the opening sequence when the guy's putting up the sign, but he's, like, in the pitch black, I'm like, that would never be a thing, because all retails just have all the fucking lights on all the fucking time. Like, it just would not have happened that way.
But how can you create atmosphere, Mike, without, you know, it being dark?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I had to let it go, but that's...
It's dopey.
Because of the budget, there isn't a lot of people to convey just how much more hectic Black Friday can be as well. Because they show, like, a line of people, but that's, like, maybe the first chunk of people you let in after the thousands more that are fucking still waiting kind of thing. It's the budget, and...
Yeah.
But once you see what they spent the budget on, like you guys were saying, like, oh... I get it now.
There's some weird things going on with these creatures. Obviously, it starts off as some slimy blob-like thing that then shoots out some kind of proboscis at people and then infects them. There seems to be some confusion about how infection is conveyed, which actually becomes a plot point at one point, because it seems like, well, if they bite you, you also turn. They don't need to slap this proboscis right down your throat. Sometimes the zombies attack. Sometimes they're just too busy doing something, because we keep being told that they're building something in the middle of the store. And we get glimpses of that, which does culminate in the finale, but they didn't have enough money to really do much with it. At some point, you have your cast just looking at this threat, and you're just looking at it for a long time. And it's just sort of standing there.
Menacingly.
Menacingly. But then, like, wait a minute, this makes no... I can't even get into it because I'll have to spoil something, and I don't want to do that. But yeah, there's just some points where the logistics, like, don't make any sense to me.
I see all of those things. I mean, there's some of it I'm willing to let go because I'm like, eh, whatever. They do try to cover the reduced number of people in the building by trying to close the store when everything goes crazy, but I'm like, you still don't have enough people in here for that. I just had to eventually assume this was just a shitty store that even on Black Friday wasn't just going to get swamped by people for whatever. I mean, did you see? I mean, you saw the toys they were selling, right? Like the Dour Dennis.
I want that so badly.
Dour Dennis was
amazing. Never wanted merchandise from a movie as badly as I want that bear. Who just sounds like he wants to kill himself. I love that.
In terms of the actors, they're fine. It's a weird little microcosm of retail. You have all those little sort of retail tropes. You know, you get the guy who we've all been at one point who gives zero fucks about what's going on. He just is there because what else is he going to do? You know, you've got the manager, Bruce Campbell, who that's all he does. That's his entire life is this thing. Also, he's just skeezy enough not to tell you that, by the way, you're getting screwed out of your holiday bonus, too.
It's a corporate chill.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's got the actual floor manager who everybody hates because he's the mouthpiece and the hands for management, and he really enjoys doing it. It's entertaining. It's fun, but it's also like watching any other zombie movie, in a sense. I mean, you sort of have a sense of where things are going to go. There's going to be the eruption of things. They're going to sort through what they have to do, and then you get to the ending, which is either resolved or not, depending on how they want to play it. And given the budget they have, you have a fairly good idea how they're going to play it. Yeah, it's fun. It was. I know Bruce Campbell is sort of the big sell for this, but I was also interested to see Sawa again, because I haven't seen him forever, and then I saw him a while back in Hunter Hunter or whatever it was, and I was like, oh, he grew up and got kind of scary. Let's see what he looks like in this thing. Oh, no, this time he's the fuck up. All right, I like that too. It's fine. I've been there too. So yeah, no, they were a lot of fun. They have a lot of the cast has pretty good chemistry with each other too, considering what they have to work with. They kind of bring the movie to a halt for everybody to sort of give their origin story. I mean, they set it up so there's nothing else for them to do. And it was kind of nice to get a little humanity in them so they weren't just tropes.
Yeah. Like, early on, I was thinking, like, ah, this dialogue's not that good in terms of, like, jokes. But then there's that scene where they're all huddled up and people start offending one another. And it gets into, like, this is actually good human. This is a good human moment here where Devon Sawa is, like, realizing, like, damn, have I really become that guy that they're describing me as?
Yep.
I like this. I like this part of it. I like Devon Sawa. I've never realized how many movies he's in that I like him in. Like, he's in Freaked. He's in Idle Hands. He was in Hunter Hunter, which we've mentioned, which anybody who's heard that name and they're like, should I check that out? Yes, please check that out. That's such a good movie. And I like everyone else at this. It blew my mind. I didn't realize that was the little girl from Pan's Labyrinth is in this movie. That's insane.
Wait, Devon Sawa was the alive version of Casper?
Yeah, that too.
The Casper movie?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I was going through his IMDb if anybody's curious.
As like a zombie movie, which we'll call it that because I like how they also don't really fully explain what these things are.
Right.
It's that kind of like 80s trope of like something fell into the woods and it's squishy and it's, you know, it's glowing and who knows what it's going to make. But these creatures, they get progressively scarier and the makeup gets better. Mm-hmm. And they do this cool alien gurgle thing, which I thought, you know what, in terms of the sound department, that's a cool sounding creature thing. I think I kind of liked this movie the more it went on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we got to talk about the comedy part of it, because I can forgive a lot of this stuff. I agree that's end of the second act where they all get together and we have a moment for everybody to open up before the finale. I thought that was strong. I think it's also got some of the best commentary about Black Friday and what a fucking scam it really is.
Yeah.
And what it does to people and how it grinds the people down who have to work at these awful places. I can forgive the fact that sometimes the way the zombies or aliens, whatever you want to call them, that they don't always work consistently. I could forgive a lot of that if this were funnier. I can forgive you for not being perfect, but you're a horror comedy. You got to make the jokes work as much or if not more than the horror aspects. And I thought a lot of these jokes were pretty obvious and flat and stale.
I don't know. I like that bear. I really like the suicide bear.
Oh, no, that's brilliant. But I wanted more of that.
I'm pretty sure Dower Dennis was voiced by Seth Green.
Maybe.
I think you're right, because I believe the director, I read on his IMDb that he's done mostly like television and music videos and stuff. But I think he's got a history with Seth Green. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's an uncredited voice performance.
It would make sense. Him and Devon Sawa were in Idle Hands together like years ago. The comedy itself, though, is just like, there's some funny jokes in it, but overall, it's probably the part of it you're going to remember the least out of the entire thing, outside of, you know, Dower Dennis, because Dower Dennis is fucking great.
That's the only joke that I think anybody's going to remember from the movie. And it's really more of a plot point than anything. You're actually kind of happy when he pops up again. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's that dude. It's like, it's basically Chekhov's recalled toy. If you show me a recalled toy that has a tendency to explode, I know that's going to show up again in the third act.
I think Bruce Campbell has the best lines in the entire thing, though. Like, out of all the gags, Bruce Campbell, because Bruce Campbell can deliver almost anything and make me chuckle, at least minimum.
He will always be charming. That goes into pretty much any movie yeah. he's in.
Like, I laughed at him saying that cake was sent by corporate. Like, yeah. It's such a normal joke, but the way he says it made exactly. me laugh.
It just reminds you what an old pro he is.
Absolutely.
At this kind of material. He knows how to make it work, even when it's not particularly good. But let's start going into our final thoughts. Spider Mike, kick us off, please.
Yeah, this movie, it's a fun time. You can go in with some lower expectations because, you know, Bruce Campbell and Michael J. White are not like the main focus. But if you really like Devon Sawa, he's super the main focus. The chemistry between all of these actors is really what sells the rest of the movie for me. Like, because some of the gore stuff is kind of half and half. A lot of the effects are really good, except for, like, again, some of them. As well as you just have to put some stuff in the back of your head. Just, like, forget the fact that it's a lower budget. Forget the fact that this Toy Story doesn't really feel like it's that. There's that much stuff in it, that many people in it, kind of thing. Just focus on like what it's trying to tell you and what it's trying to do, And you're going to have a fun time with it. I will have to give it 8 out of 10 dour dentist dolls.
Adrian, what are your final thoughts?
Shout out to Devin Sawa. There's a really weird connection in this movie where they're in the break room. They're watching one of the Chucky movies. And that scene that they're watching has Summer Howell, who was also his daughter in Hunter x Hunter. But Devin Sawa is also in the new Chucky show that takes place during the same timeline as that other movie. So my brain's going to cave in on itself watching this, and who knows what reality is real. I had a fun time with this movie. Early on, I was kind of worried. I was wondering, I don't know if this is going to be funny. I don't know if this is going to be entertaining or scary. And it ended up being a little bit of all those things, but the little bit that it was really good. When it's funny, I thought it was really funny. I was cracking up. When it's creepy, these zombie makeup effects, they look fucking cool. They look pretty creepy. What the movie ends up being, I wasn't expecting that. And I thought this is really fucking cool, too. It almost has like a video game logic to it, which I really dug. And I can see this being fun for that season. You know, it's going to be up for streaming around Thanksgiving, and I'm sure a $7 rental wouldn't hurt of checking this out, especially if you'd prefer something a little more into horror territory. Because, yeah, we don't really have a lot of options on that day around Thanksgiving. Plenty of Christmas and Halloween, but hey, finally, one more Thanksgiving the horror movie. And it's a pretty decent one. I'm looking forward to what this team is going to do next. And Casey Thibault, the director, his previous film sounds actually really cool too, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to give this 3.5 really squelchy, squishy gummy webs that, I don't know, every time those came out, I kind of wanted to touch it and see what it feels like. Out of 5.
LaWayne, sir.
Yeah, some of the humor is not great, but overall this movie is silly, it's goofy, it's fun. And frankly, given the time period it's going to come out, that's great, because there's that lull where it's Thanksgiving and leading into Christmas and, oh God, Christmas. Anyway, it's enjoyable. I don't know that it'll be a cult classic, but I'm going to watch it again, and I'm definitely going to show it to other people. So it feels like maybe we can get the cult started. In the end, this is 4 out of 5 times that I'd rather watch this than go to another goddamn family event.
Tell us how you really feel, away. Your family's not listening to these podcasts, are they? They're like, that little fucker. I wish I liked this as much as you guys did, because I really wanted to. I did enjoy it. I don't mind watching this again, but I think this is going to be one of those kind of things where, depending on the time of the year, if it's on in the background, that'll be cool. Like I said, I can forgive a lot of shortcomings, but if you're going to be a horror comedy, bring the horror or bring the comedy. If you can't do both, then put an emphasis on one. And I was really hoping for the comedy to really carry this over the finish line for me. I wanted something that was a little bit sharper, a little bit more satirical, because I think it's a great topic that is just dying to be told. So I give them a lot of credit for like being one of the few films that said, we're going to do this about Black Friday. It is a commentary on capitalism, mindless consumerism, the relentless grind of a day-to-day retail minimum wage job, and all the bullshit employees have to put up with. But really, that mindless consumerism as zombie analogy has been made as far back as the original Dawn of the Dead. So if you're going to bring that in, then you better do something really fresh. And I thought they got this close to it. And I just wish they could have done it a little bit more so I could recommend it more highly. I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10 times you should never wear a single roller skate while going into battle. Because honestly, roller skates are the stupidest thing to wear when you're fighting off zombies. It's good if you want to get away from something, but the minute you hit anything, you're just going to knock yourself on your ass. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that seemed more like a hindrance than an actual help.
Exactly. I'm like, that's some really desperate, like, oh, I know, I'll put on roller skates. That's a good idea. Said no one ever.